Today we're going to look at Jesus' final hours. He has just a couple of hours to live. For him on this day, there would be no sunset, because by that time, he would be gone. Now, lest we get ahead of ourselves, let's go over to John chapter 18 and watch the events as they unfold up to the crucifixion. What we're going to read today is basically a historical narrative, but that doesn't mean there's not some interesting things that's happening. There's some very interesting events that we're going to look at. Secondly, there's some interesting characters that we're going to think about. So let's jump in, but first let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we can follow Jesus through these last few hours up to the cross. Help us to sit and watch. Help us to interact where we can. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 18, verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. The brook Kidron, that's an interesting place. You just think just a little creek that's going by. But actually, the brook Kidron was part of the sewer system that come from the Temple Mount. And what would go through these waters is the blood that's been washed off the sacrifice. Please keep in mind that after today, there will be no further need for animal sacrifices, because Jesus himself is going to die and become the final sacrifice for our sins. And after all, the veil in the temple that held men from the Holy of Holies has been torn, or will be torn, from the top to bottom. Verse number 2 and 3. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. A couple of things here. Judas enters the picture. This man had followed Jesus for 3.5 years. He had heard him teach. He saw him heal people. He saw him raise the dead. He knew the real Jesus, but he hadn't given his life to him. He watched from a distance. He was basically a phony. Do we have any of those around today? Perhaps here. Maybe you've watched Jesus from a distance. Maybe you thought, I'll just interact with Christianity and nobody will know that I'm really not a follower of Jesus. Well, learn from Judas. That doesn't work. But there was somebody else in those verses, and that's Judas and the soldiers from the temple guards. Why did they come to him with swords and weapons? Jesus was basically a peaceful guy. But they came out to arrest and tie him up and treat him like a criminal. You could tell there's an evil motive that's going on here. Now Jesus does something that only a man would do. Verse number 8, Jesus, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, who are you seeking? You know, Jesus knew what was coming. He knew the pain and suffering that was coming. And he knew, most of all, that he was going to have to carry the weight of sin of the world on his shoulders in just a few hours. But still, he stepped forward into it. He didn't back up. He stepped forward and asks, "Well, who are you looking for?" Verses 5 and 6. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Verses 5 and 6. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Well, what happened when Jesus said, "I am he"? When he said that, they were pushed back and they fell to the ground. Soldiers as well. Why? What happened? Well, some people think they bowed to worship. Well, not hardly. You've got soldiers just doing what they're told to do. Then you've got Judas, the man who betrayed Jesus. I don't think these guys are going to be worshiping Jesus. Well, some say that they were just startled. Again, I don't think so. They were expecting to find Jesus. They were expecting him to be there and to reveal himself. So they wouldn't be startled by what he said. So what happened? Well, I believe the power of God, when Jesus said, "I'm he," when Jesus said that, the power of God pushed these guys back, including the soldiers, and forced them to the ground. Now, let me show you why I think this happened. Verses 7 through 9. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I've told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying may be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you have given me, I have lost none.'" Jesus said, "Here, take me, but you let these guys go." Now think about it. Just after you've been pushed to the ground by some mysterious force, and then Jesus says, "Let these guys go," do you think you would argue with him? Would you? I'm sure I wouldn't argue with him. Let's go on over to verses 10 and 11. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it out and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. This servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Poor old Peter. He wants to be the hero here, but he's actually just standing in the way. Jesus had to set him straight. Well, but just before this, up in the upper room there, Peter didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. You remember that Jesus had to set him straight again? Well, now he cuts the guard's ear off. Jesus had to set him straight again. Sometimes you would think that Peter would learn. But is there anybody here listening that's just like Peter? Maybe you're hot, then cold, or super high, or super low. And then when it comes to your Christian life, you're just almost unstable. You see, with Peter, there was one major thing that was missing. He needed to be broken. I believe if you want God to use you, then you're like a good horse. You need to be broken. Now let's look at verses 12 through 14. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people, Well, as far as I'm concerned, these hypocritical Jews, they don't even bear discussing right here. We all know that they were doing what they were doing because of jealousy, or at least that's what one of our upcoming characters thinks. Now let's get back to Peter, our unstable disciple. He's moving toward his breaking point, verses 15 through 18. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door, a little servant girl. And she brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of these man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not." Number one, his first denial of Jesus. Verse 18, now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself after denying Jesus. So in this scene, we have Peter and an unnamed disciple. And we believe that unnamed disciple was the man who's writing this. And that's John the disciple. So Peter denies Jesus. And then the story continues. Let's look at verses 19 through 24. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, "I've spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always met, and in the secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them instead. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Well, Jesus answered, "If I've spoken evil, bear witness of me. But well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Something I want you to notice through this whole thing. Jesus is completely in control. He won't let Peter attack, and Jesus maintains his own control. Even after being smacked, he maintains his own control. He could have just spoken a word and he'd been set free and it'd all have been over. But he, as a man would do, was focused on his responsibility, the job that God gave him to do. Peter wasn't going to distract from him. No one was going to distract from him accomplishing his goal. Are we that focused on the job that God has given us to do? Can we resist the distractions? Verses 25 through 27. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and therefore they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." Number two. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, somebody who knows him, she said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Well, Peter then denied it again, and immediately the rooster crowed. We also know from one of the other gospels that as soon as Peter denied Jesus the third time, that Jesus turned and looked at him. Their eyes met, and Peter went out into the dark weeping. And you know he was weeping bitterly because he was a broken man. Do you think God will ever use him again? You know, normal human reasoning would say, God wouldn't touch you at all now. You're done. You're finished. But you see, I believe that when you reach that point to where you feel like God will never use you again, it is at that point where God can actually use you, because at that point, you've been broken. Well, I think this is a good place for us to stop for today, because Pilate is soon to enter the picture. But let's return to our thought, our last thought. Peter had to be broken. And did God ever use him? Well, obviously he did, because in the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts at Pentecost, God chose Peter to preach the first message, and thousands of people came to know Jesus at that point. This guy who had denied Jesus three times, yet God restored him, filled him with the Holy Spirit, and allowed him to preach, and thousands came to know Jesus at that point. Well, why did Peter have to be broken? Well, I believe Peter was a stubborn man, and he was living at the whim of his emotions. If he felt something, he would do it. He didn't think, he just reacted. Is there anyone here like this? Come on now, is there anyone listening and watching who's just like that? Well, remember that when God breaks us, he'll always remake us. Pastor Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church in California says, your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. Let me say that again. Your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. If you've not been hurt, you have no ministry. So are you hurt today? Maybe someone hurt you. Maybe you've done something stupid and you know it. Will God ever use you? Oh yeah. It's because at this point that you're at the place where God actually can use you. Well, I believe what that's called is raising beauty from ashes. Do you need God to raise beauty from your ashes? Well, I believe God can do that. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this text that we've looked at today and the things that we can learn from it. Father, I pray that you'll speak from this text to people who may be listening or watching. If there's some people that need to finally surrender to you, may this be the day that they surrender. If there's some people here who have messed up their lives and they need some beauty to come from their ashes, Lord, help them surrender to you, for you could raise them up and use them for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.